Hey, this is Jarrett Breaux, and with me on the line today, I have three wonderful co-op people who are ready to talk about the two-day workshop in which you write and complete your own crisis communications plan in just 2 days. And on the line today, I have Karen Moore from Baldwin EMC. I have Ron Barnes from Coast Electric, and I have Aaron Bradshaw, who has just moved from one co-op to a new co-op. It's IECA. Aaron, what's the exact, how do you refer to it by name?
Intercounty Electric.
Intercounty Electric. So for those who are considering the whole process of writing their own crisis communications plan with this process that does it in 2 days, I wanted to introduce you to what I will call three of my best co-op friends who have gone through this process. And Karen, why don't we start with you about how you and Ron and Aaron all decided that you would join together and enter into this process to write your crisis communications plans in just 2 days.
Okay, Jared, I'd be glad to. Back in the summer of 2010, I probably got the best phone call I've ever had from Ron Barnes when he invited me to participate with Coast Electric in working with you, Jared, on developing a crisis communications plan. And in co-op fashion, cost sharing is always attractive to us. We invited a third co-op, and I remember calling Aaron Bradshaw at the time. He was at Chelco. And I can't remember specifically what was in the news at that time, but there was an electric utility, I want to say a co-op, who was receiving a lot of negative press, and it had developed, I guess, to the level of what you would say would be a crisis. And so it was an easy sale when you go to your CEO and you present the what if and what would we do, and having to think through that made it an easy sale to say, you know, it's time to develop a crisis communication plan. And the three of us got together in a two-day seminar, and you walked us through and provided the templates and the facilitating of it. And we walked out of there with what I thought was more than I ever expected. It was a very thorough plan, one that we've continued to develop. But that's kind of how we all started together back in 2010.
And Karen,
now, Ron, you're like a lot of the co-ops to where you were trying to do this for a while and you weren't getting a whole lot of traction initially, huh?
Well, that's exactly right, Jared. When we did call Karen and Aaron, we were looking for some people to partner with us for a couple of reasons. Number one was, what is the cost to not be prepared? And what I mean by that is, when we looked at that other system that was having a lot of problems with the media, you know, we're in an area that's prone to hurricanes. We had just gone through Hurricane Katrina 5 years before. We were looking for something that kind of expanded beyond our own efforts to really be able to have something that was very organized, and that regardless of what kind of crisis happened, we would be ready to, you know, take a look at our book and respond in a very quick fashion. What we found, and through working together with these other two co-ops, was that you can do this so much better as a group than you can individually. We learned as much from Karen and Aaron as we did from ourselves. And the material that Jared gave us was just a fantastic process for following, you know, basically a template that got us from point A to point B. And as Karen said, when we walked out of there 2 days later, we felt like that we were about 95% complete. And, you know, we actually came up with over 300 different crisis scenarios. That, and I know that's a lot, but, you know, we've kind of let our minds wander there. I don't think we would have done that had we, A, not been with Jared, and B, not been with our other co-op friends to be able to bounce ideas off each other.
Yeah, and I...
And Aaron?
I completely agree. And when we were looking at it, we had already been looking for a while at the potential for some sort of crisis communication plan, just because, as co-ops go, it's our reputations that make us or break us. And the traditionally co-op customer satisfaction and the value they receive from that is significantly higher than all other utilities. So it's an investment worth protecting. We had looked at other classes, and frankly, I've talked to people that have done other classes, and what ends up happening is they go in and they get a person that talks to them about it for 4 hours or 6 hours, and when they go home, they've gotten a good lesson in it, but they have nothing workable. And when we got done with 2 days, we walked out of there with a workable package that you could pick. Now, we refined it over the coming months, and I would assume that any organization would continue to refine a crisis communication plan as they thought through the different possible scenarios. But the fact is, we walked out with a working document, 2.5 inches worth of yank it out and walk to a podium and be able to handle a crisis situation. It was extremely useful, expensive only if you don't value what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, Jared, in your situation, go ahead, Carol.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I might add to what Aaron just described. If I've never experienced such a confidence booster in a two-day session, because there is such confidence in having all those different scenarios at your fingertip, like Aaron said, to walk to a podium and know that what you're about to say is the right thing to say at the right time. There's such value, and I cannot tell you the confidence that I have sitting at my desk every day knowing I'm prepared and I am planned.
Absolutely.
Jared, could I give an example of that?
Sure.
All right, this is Ron. I was sitting in church. I guess this has been, it was during 2013. I was sitting in church, and, you know, I always keep my phone with me because I'm pretty much on call 24/7, but I usually don't look at it. Well, it was on the seat beside me, and I just glanced down. Of course, I had it on silent, and saw that it was our dispatch office calling, and I know they're not going to call me unless there's some kind of emergency. So I stepped out of church, took the call, and we had had a situation where a person was trying to steal power, and had been I guess you would say they had come in contact with the power line. Now, it wasn't during work hours. My mind certainly wasn't on that type of scenario. But what I did have going for me was I had this book in my car. I walked straight out there, and it just as Aaron described, pull that sheet out. And within 30 minutes, I was doing media interviews and never broke stride. In fact, my family didn't even have to come out of church, and I already had this handled. So that's the kind of real-world experience that you know, I never dreamed when we put this together that I would have a scenario like that. But that's a real situation that really did happen.
Well,
I appreciate that because, one of the things I always emphasize is that speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Aaron,
speed's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aaron, in your situation, you moved from the co-op where we had written the plan, and you're now the CEO of a new co-op. But what is it that you're getting ready to do again?
We actually met with the board for budget yesterday, and that was the cost of going through the class for staff was included in the budget. It's, you know, one of the issues is, or not issues, but it's a protected it's a protected document. Just like if you're an author, you don't give away your book to everyone for free. Your co-op basically licenses what you're doing with that. So when I left Chelco to come to Inter County, it was one of the many things that I had to give up, and it's probably one of the things I most regretted having to give up. So I've been here about 7 months now, and after about 7 days, I was like, you know, let's go ahead and get that in the budget for next year. So it's important. I mean, Ron put his finger on it. When you're in a crisis situation, the ability to walk out, grab what you need, and be able to deal with the media who is going to be chomping at the bit to talk to you is important. And what Karen said is exactly right. The feeling of comfort you get from having that is immeasurable. So, yeah.
Let me thank you, Aaron, because like so many other co-op people that I've met, you just display the high ethics. It is a document that I retain the intellectual property to. I license it out to your organizations to use, and the only caveat is that you don't give it to someone else until they acquire the license. So I certainly appreciate the integrity that you display and the ethics that you display, which brings me to a follow-up question, because I know in the co-op world, people like to share. Has the restriction of the non-sharing impacted you negatively in any way? Because obviously you're able to get mutual aid from each other and others who own the license. But in your own process, have you seen any drawbacks to the fact that this is a licensed item that sells for a much lower price than if it were a contract for work item?
I was just going to say, I have not so far, and Jared, in my own mind, the way I've thought through this, because we do get mutual aid, and in being on the coast, we do help out a lot and receive help as well. And during Hurricane Ivan, we brought in even communications help. Jimmy Autry came in to help us. This is the way I look at it. If someone came in through mutual aid agreement to assist Ball and EMC, this is a tool that Ball and EMC has purchased, much like a bucket truck or any kind of our equipment. It is a tool that person, while working with us, would use our tools. And when they return to their co-op, they don't take our tools with them. That tool remains at Baldwin EMC. So that's kind of in my mind how, and it is different because the cooperative spirit is we do share. But I knew going into this, I signed a license agreement and a contract with you, so I understood the expectations up front.
Ron?
I just totally agree. I don't know that I can add much to what Karen said because I think she said it exactly as I would have. You know, we work very closely with a lot of other co-ops. We share a lot of things. If they were to come and work for us, they would be following our plan. But when they went back home, they would be, they wouldn't take that part with them, just like Karen said, as if they wouldn't take any other tools. So, well said.
And the other thing is, at the end of the day, Jared offers a service that's valuable, and he deserves to be paid for it.
I appreciate that so much.
Once anyone would go through the two-day seminar, Jared, and see the work that you've put into it before you bring it to us to customize to be our own, I think once you have the opportunity to see what you bring to the table with Aaron's comment, there's a lot of value that you should be paid for. You've already put in your hours of work before coming to the co-op and allowing us to customize it to be our own.
I appreciate that. Yeah, we've got about 2,500 hours of development in it. And as you know, on a regular basis, I mail you updates, email you updates and new templates and things like that. So I appreciate that. Not only is there a lot of time already in the plan, but because it has to be a living document, there are hours put into the plan almost on a daily basis as new communications tools become available, as new acceptable practices become available. So thanks so much for that.
This is Ron. I'd like to add one more thing. For my board of directors and for our CEO, I think it gave them a great sense of comfort with this plan, and really the price is negligible for what you get from it. I mean, it really is. But it gave them a great sense of comfort when they knew that we were getting a plan that had been really well tested and came from a guy like Jared, who we all have the utmost respect for. So this wasn't just something that somebody threw together. I mean, you can tell this has really been thoroughly researched and put into practice over years. And it does lend to that comfort level that we've all talked about. There's nothing greater to me as a public relations professional than feeling very confident that pretty much any situation that can happen, we have thought about that ahead of time, and that we have one of these pre-written plans that we can pull out of the book and be at a microphone in less than an hour and ready to talk to whoever we need to talk to. It's a great feeling of confidence both as a public relations professional and we, you know, our board of directors and our management team felt very safe about that as well and comfortable.
I appreciate that, because one of the main problem in the predicaments is people being too slow to decide on that board level. So I appreciate that observation that lets you move fast. Karen, you were going to add?
I was going to add that one thing different about our crisis communication plan that I think from other plans we've done is that this is truly a living plan. In the past, from 3 years ago beginning the planning to today, I can't tell you how many times we have updated and tweaked as a result of either having a drill that you have come in and facilitated or that we have put our own selves through, because we decided as a communications team that if we didn't practice this, then when the real day comes, we may not have as much confidence as we needed in the real role-playing. So every 2 months, we have gotten together, we've put our own video camera on and practiced those templates. And I can't tell you the value in the practicing of it, because that's where we find that we need to tweak or update. So I would encourage anyone that goes through the plan, don't sit it on a shelf and let it collect dust. It needs to be living and breathing and changing and changing with you as you as time passes to practice it and update it to be ready.
I appreciate that.
I would add to that, one of the things, this is Aaron, one of the things we did was, as utilities, we tend to do tabletops where we practice for a hurricane or a snowstorm or anything like that. You walk through the different scenarios. One of the things that we put into practice was we did tabletops where we invited in some of our friends from the media and or to help participate. And what we would do is we would let everybody know there was a mock crisis going on, and we would have a lineman call in and say, you know, he'd just been in a terrible accident, and then start that going through the process, and then we'd have him call back and say he's being arrested for DUI or, you know, any kind of crisis like that where, you know, there's been injuries on site. And then we walk through, you know, how's the press going to handle it? And our friends from the press would grill us just like it was a real scenario. We had the police department in or the county sheriff's office in, their communications public information officer, and we worked with them on dealing with the different scenarios that we lay down. It was very educational. You find out, even though the plan is fabulous, you find holes and you're allowed to tweak it. And you just get stronger and more able to handle that kind of situation.
I appreciate that. You know, the two philosophies I have is that everything in the plan needs to be decided on a clear, sunny day so that it's ready to use on your darkest day. And the other one is mess up in private so that you don't mess up in public. And really, for me, that's what the drills are all about, especially when you take, as you mentioned, Aaron, that traditional tabletop, and you escalate it to the point that you're having news conferences, and the news conferences get realistically intense. And I know, Karen, you've probably seen some things at your organization to where there was behavior and decision-making among your executives in the drill that perhaps on the real day would have been problematic, but in the drill, we were able to tweak behavior and speed up the process. Isn't that essentially true, that we've been able to make their decision-making process better and faster?
Yes, that is true. In fact, the crisis communications plan through the first or second drill, we determined that we needed a crisis management plan, and that is on our strategic plan right now. In fact, I'm in the middle of developing a crisis management plan. So it did point out to us, while we might could communicate the plan very well, the management side needed their own plan. So, yes, we did find some opportunities.
Well, good. Well, folks, you're all great friends, and I appreciate you spending 20 minutes, especially to share with the other cooperatives who are thinking about doing this. So thank you very much for your support and use of the plan, and I will talk to you again very soon. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jared.